We are so blessed to be in the studio today in Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry, and we have a full house today. We have some special guests, Jessica and Catherine, and we have Janelle and Beth and Miss Terry, myself, Sandy. So we are going to go on and be in Luke 14, 1 through 23.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is a good passage. I want to first say thank you to my peeps that are here from Grace. I was laughing because yesterday morning I had posted on Facebook saying I miss my oxen because, you know, when there's ox in the stall is not clean, but there's strength when you have the oxen. And Grace has let out, so we have hardly any students on campus. And I just did a shout out to the students, letting them know that they are our strength on campus. And then last night, my house was filled with Grace. And so I thought that was kind of funny that it just orchestrated that way, how God laid it out, that I was missing my peeps, and then God gave me a house full of peeps last night. Yeah. I'm glad you guys are here. Okay, we're going to be going in and looking at this passage in Luke that's really more about parables. And Jesus is trying to teach some profound lessons. And if we think about what's happened back in Luke 13, it's crazy because he's been talking to them about rewards and punishments, things that are happening. They've been putting him to the test, and there's been many things happening, and he's talking to them about the different things that's occurred, and he's gone against Herod and Antipas and about the narrow way. And he ends that chapter focusing in on that he is lamenting for Jerusalem as a mother hen for her chicks under her wings. He's grieving because Jerusalem doesn't get it. And he's come to give them blessing, and they're just not willing to receive the gift that's been given. And that's what sets up what's about to happen. Time-wise, how this chapter comes in, we honestly do not know the length of time. We don't know if he said that and then the Sabbath was the next day. We don't know the time frame, but that it should be in their mindset when this occurs. And so on a Sabbath, Luke 14, 1 through 20, I'm going to go ahead and take it through the end of the chapter when I tell it. We'll see how far we get through. I think we're going to get through just 23. On a Sabbath, Jesus was invited to the house of lawyers and some Pharisees, and they did this in order to watch him. And while he was there, they brought out a man that was dealing with his body swelling from fluids. And Jesus looked at the experts of the law and the Pharisees, and he says, "Is it lawful for us to heal on the Sabbath or not?" And They looked at him, but they didn't respond. And he said, "Well, which one of you, if your son or your ox falls into a well, wouldn't immediately pull him out on a Sabbath?" And for this, no one could answer. And he begins to teach to them a parable. And to the ones that had invited him, he said, "I noticed that as the people that were invited to come, he noticed how you have chosen, the people had chosen special places for themselves." So he begins to tell them, when you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, don't go to the best place because a more distinguished person may be placed there by the host. The one who invited you could come over and say, "Give that place to this man," and then you're humiliated and you're taken to the lower place. Mm-hmm. But when you're invited, if you go to the lower place and go sit at the back of the room, and if the person who invited you picks you up and brings you to the front, then you're going to be honored in front of everybody. And as he was saying this, he said, "Which one of you, if you're to give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite you invite your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, your friends, but if you do that, they can give back to you." And he goes, "Really, what you need to do, and that's your reward, you need to invite the poor, the lame, the maimed, the blind, because they can't repay you. And then your blessing comes from heaven." Well, he then turns and he says, "When one of those who are reclined at the table hear these things," he said, the man said to Jesus, he said, "The one who will eat of the bread of the kingdom of God is blessed." Jesus looked at him. "Yes, a man giving a large banquet will invite many. And at this banquet, he's going to send his slave out to go and tell people, come, and everything's ready. But as they go out and they begin to invite the people in, the first man says, I can't come. He makes excuses. He says, I've bought a field and I must go out and see to it. And he doesn't come. And another says, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going out to take care of them. Please excuse me. And then the third one says, I just got married and I'm unable to come. And so the slave goes back and he tells his master, and then the master is angry. And he says, go out quickly to the streets, to the alleys, to the city, and to bring in the poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame. And the slave says, master, what you've ordered's been done, but there's still room. So the master told the slave, go out to the highways, the lanes, and invite them to come in. Fill this house, for I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will enjoy the banquet. Now, as Jesus began to travel, the crowds were pressing in, and they were surrounding him. And as they are surrounding him, he began to say, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father or mother, wife, children, brothers or sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. But the one who bears his cross and comes after me, he can be my disciple. For which of you wanting to build a tower doesn't count first the cost on completing it? Otherwise, if he lays the foundation, he can't finish it. The people will say, oh, that man is foolish. He wasn't able to finish. Or what about the king that's about to go to war? Will he not first decide if his 10,000 can oppose the 20,000? If not, while the other is still far off, he sends the delegation, ask for terms of peace. And in the same way, every one of you who does not say goodbye to all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. Because salt is good, but if salt should lose its taste, it will not be salty. It isn't fit for the soil or for the pile of manure. They throw it out, and anyone who has ears to hear should listen. May God honor the telling of his word. Now, we won't tell the whole thing each time we break it down. We'll go into small sections, but we wanted to hear it all in the first half so that we could talk about it. This is really intense, if you think. He has been invited to the house of this Pharisee, and the lawyers are present, and all the people are gathered around. And when you hear this passage, what's the first thing that comes to your mind as we just went through and heard the passage?
I think of Jesus and his inclusiveness all the time. You know, he's such an includer.
He is.
And also how he makes it so personal.
Mm.
You know, when they were talking about their excuses, or even when he talked to the Pharisees and asking if it was lawful, you know, about saving their ox or their, you know, that was personal. Yes, you would go do that. You know, so why are you condemning me for what I do on the Sabbath?
Okay.
I love the way that Jesus just, like, shakes people's thinking. I mean, and throughout this passage, you know, the Pharisees are like, no, you can't heal on the Sabbath because that's against the law. And Jesus says, but it's the greater good to heal someone. Why would, you know, it doesn't matter what day it is. The point is this person needs healed. And, you know, typically people are like, well, I need to put myself out there and make sure that I'm exalted. And Jesus is like, if you make yourself humbled, other people will do that for you. And at every point, he's just shaking the way that they think about things and reshaping that to something greater.
Exactly. That's what I was excuse me, thinking, because, you know, if you sit in the place of honor, you know, you shouldn't do that because they might move you. So sit at the back and let, that's exactly what she was just saying, let God proclaim your name.
Right. Humility.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you think, guys? Catherine, Jessica, do either of you have something you wanted to say about that as you think on that section? We're looking at the very first few verses up to verse 6. You guys have any comments?
Just one. Like she said, he makes it really personal by comparing the sick man to the oxen to the son. And I think in that culture, like, the son and the ox were of great value. So he takes people and he draws them close to show them, like, how close we are to God's heart, how much value. Because, like, the son, it would be impossible to, like, pass on an inheritance and a great name and honor without a son. And, like, the ox, like you said, was the strength. And that's how you accomplish things. And so I feel like he just showed God's heart through making it personal of with things of great value.
That's good. That's good.
Another little peep speaking.
I love it. Jessica, do you have anything you wanted to share? Are you good?
No, I'm good. You guys like just kind of took it away.
Okay, so we've kind of summed up what we think about Jesus. So we find he's personal, his heart's for the people. He is at this banquet, but it's not just at the banquet just to be with them. He's there intentionally. It's intentional. Mm-hmm. He's there to invest, to see life change. And let's look at it from the perspective of the lawyers and the Pharisees. Right here. What do you think is going on in their minds? What are they up to?
They want to just trip him up. Like they have, how many times would you like, think that they'd figure out time. That? You think they'd figure out that, oh, he's going to get this one too.
It does seem in the last 3 months that every time we look at a passage that the religious leaders are coming to trap Jesus and it ends up happening, they get trapped.
But yeah. You know what? I think as humans, we do that so many times. Say, well, I wonder what this person has to say about this. They seem to know everything about it, you know? So we almost look for, and then when they just blow you away, you're kind of like, okay, gotcha.
I think it's funny that it says that he was being carefully watched by them.
Mm. Yep.
How long did they watch him and how little did they see?
Mm. That's good.
And also he knew in his mind, he knew what they were thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, they were thinking healing on the Sabbath again. And so he just put that question right at him.
Okay. I want you to visualize with me that at these banquets, the goal of every person who would have a banquet or a dinner was to invite all the most important people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was the deal. How many people can I bring in so that I can build up my reputation, I can build up my prestige, mm-hmm. I can show he came to my party.
Prideful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here they're doing this invitation. And then all of a sudden, they have this guest that is the known prophet to do all the miraculous healings we've seen. And then it just says, in my translation, what is this one? I can't remember. I brought with me. I think I have the NASB with me today. It says, there in front of him was a man whose body was swollen with fluid. Okay, he would not have been that close down in the area. So what happened? Why is he there? What's the purpose of this man being brought in front of Jesus? They are literally being very intentional. Just as he's intentional about investing, they're being intentional in producing evil. Mm-hmm. That's their goal. And they've chosen this man explicitly. Praise God for him. Because what happens to the man?
He's healed.
He's healed.
Always.
All right. What's Jesus' conversation all focused about? What are they really wanting to get the communication going on about?
Is it lawful?
All right. Lawful for what?
To heal on the Sabbath.
Okay. Why do you think Jesus would put that question before these men, the religious leaders and the Pharisees? He's asked this question many times. I think, I can't be certain, but my mind wants to say it 7 times. Mm. He's already put question before them. And so here it is again. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Is it for Jesus to get the answer or is it for them to hear?
I think them to get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah. I think that's why he made it so personal this time. You know, it had to hit home that, yes, I would save my oxen, or like you had said,
my child.
You know, my child.
Yeah. I'm glad that he did put son and then ox.
Yes, yes.
Some people, because of the traditions and the laws, probably would go more for the ox. Who knows? Yeah. But they would automatically, without thinking, involuntarily go to save a son, go to save an ox. But when it comes to the man who has fluids in his body, is he not as important? Mm-hmm. And so it's going back to what Janelle was saying, and that he breaks down what others might think.
Right.
And so here they bring this sick person with these fluids, and Jesus heals him. And this man is now what? An example for them to see? Mm-hmm. And then we hear of him no more. He's just done. He was used by these men, but he was blessed by God. And so for me, as I was looking at this, I thought, wow, that's incredible. I can be in situations where man may be choosing to use me. Hmm. Have you ever felt that way?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where literally it's somebody has a goal and a purpose behind why I'm being included, why I've been invested in, why I've been put in the forefront. Mm-hmm. And yet, if I'm just there and willing to receive what God has, I can be blessed by God even when man uses me. Mm-hmm. That blew my mind away, thinking of it from the perspective of the man who was swollen with fluids. I think it's interesting. Commentators said they called it dropsy back then, which was weird to me, because dropsy is now, I think it's a disease where you fall asleep.
You lose your balance. Yeah. George's grandma.
Right.
But my aunt, I remember my dad talking about his sister, you know, I guess it wasn't my aunt, that had dropsy, and I never did figure out what dropsy was, but I looked it up, and it did say fluids. Filled with fluids, so I don't know. Edema.
So I wonder if the fluids messes with the equilibrium and the balance.
Yeah. That makes sense.
You know, but I've always associated with the out of balance and didn't know that it was because of fluids. That was kind of a surprise thing that as I was studying and learning. Okay, so as we're examining this, if you would have been in the room, what do you think your response would have been? How would you have reacted to watching what was going on if you were reclining at the table?
I think it's interesting that Jesus' question, I don't know if this is necessarily answering your question, but it undercuts anything the Pharisees were trying to do. Mm-hmm. They were trying so hard to trap him, like, okay, he'll do this, and then we'll be like, that's breaking the law, and we can trap him.
Yep.
But rather than just doing what he knew that they expected him to do, he asked the question before they could, like, is this legal? And then they realized they didn't have a good argument for that, and so then what he did wouldn't have had any effect. So, I think people would be able to see the battle of wits going on.
I think that's good. I think that's really good. We have about 1 minute left. I wrote down a quote from Albert Einstein. He says, try not to become a man of success, but try to become a man of value.
That's Amen.
Good. And so as we're going through for the next 3 weeks after this lesson, I want us to be thinking, because this really is a battle between reputation versus character. And in each of the situations, from the man with the swollen body with fluids or the lawyers and the Pharisees, it's a choice of allowing reputation to be our key factor or to have character become our key factor. And as we go through and we look at what Jesus is going to do in giving the parables, he's going to emphasize, and he is actually going to tell them both the positive things they need to do and the negative things. And so we often think, well, God's not going to give us explicit discipline. He does. Mm-hmm. And so we'll look at how that lays out for us as well through the parables. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. You need to come back next week as we start breaking down and looking at Jesus' teaching on humility as well as the parable of the banquet.